60, and 40. The total sperm count of North American men declined nearly 60% in 40 years. Those two numbers lead us to ask, what are we eating that is drowning our swimmers? Hello out there. You are tuned into the 1191st edition of the Food Chain Radio Show. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in Fremantle who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. Folks, we are killing off our swimmers. According to a study published in the journal Human Reproduction, men in North America, Europe, Australia, and New Zealand have experienced a 52% loss in sperm concentration and a nearly 60% loss in total sperm count. And that kill took only 40 years. To find those numbers, researchers led by Dr. Haggai Levine of Hebrew University in Jerusalem examined studies of the semen samples of 43,000 guys between 1973 and 2011. Levine wrote, "The high proportion of men in Western countries with low sperm concentrations is particularly concerning because evidence indicates that a sperm concentration below this threshold is associated with a decreased monthly probability of conception. The extent of the decline is a heartbreak. It's hard to believe." Though Levine's study did not examine the cause of the kill, previous studies, including that of his own, have shown that endocrine-disrupting chemicals can harm male reproductive system development and fertility potential. Levine's work, and that of others, leads us to ask, which of the endocrine disruptors that we eat are killing off our swimmers? To find an answer, we head off to Maryland for a conversation with a champion of nourishing traditions. And that, of course, is Sally Fallon Morrell, who is the founder and I think former president of the Weston A. Price Foundation and co-author of Nourishing Broth. Sally, welcome back to the Food Chain.
Thank you, Michael. No, I'm still hanging on as president.
You know, before we head off in search of endocrine disruptors in the food chain, I'd like to talk a little bit about the Weston A. Price Foundation. Some time ago, I had the opportunity to attend a Weston A. Price get-together, and it was a fairly large get-together, too, a lot of people. And what I saw there was truly amazing to me. It seemed like everywhere I looked, there was a young mother breastfeeding her infant. And for some reason, it was one of the most reassuring things that I've ever seen. It was just so wonderful to see all of those nursing mothers. What kind of organization is the Weston A. Price Foundation?
Yes, well, our moms are having babies, and they are breastfeeding those babies, and those babies are healthy. And that is, Michael, that is our number one focus, is fertility and healthy babies. And what kind of diet supports this endeavor? Because after all, is there nothing more important than bringing healthy children into the world?
Can't think of anything myself.
So one of the things that Dr. Price found in his studies of traditional cultures all over the world was that they all had a special foods for fertility and for conception. These foods began at least 6 months before conception and continued during pregnancy and lactation and then the growth of the child. And they also had some rules, like you didn't have your children too quickly. You waited 3 years before the next child so the mom could recover. Mm-hmm. But anyway, what were these foods? Well, they were the very foods that we're being told that we shouldn't eat. They were high cholesterol, high fat foods, like organ meats, like liver. They ate the livers of the fish. They ate the livers of the animals. They ate fat. That was animal fat. That was really important for them. And those who had dairy animals, butter and egg yolks was considered one of these foods, fish eggs. So they had these fertility foods. They made sure they ate these foods. And this is exactly what we're not doing. The message that young people are getting today is to avoid animal fats, be vegetarian, eat a third world diet, basically. And the results are what we're seeing, the decline in fertility in men and women.
And men and women. Well, you know, when I first ran up against the Weston A. Price Foundation, I thought, now, here is a very interesting organization, because it seems to me like you're going right up against the prevailing wisdom of the day, which, of course, was the American Heart Association. Yeah. Eat Crisco. Avoid eggs.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it wisdom. It's advertising moxie. And I can say without hesitation that the number one problem that's happened in the Western diet is we have stopped eating animal fats, and we have substituted the industrial seed oils, either the Crisco or the Wesson oil or the spreads or whatever. And you absolutely need animal fats to produce sex hormones. You need cholesterol and the vitamins in animal fats to produce sex hormones and to produce sperm and to produce a healthy baby. So we think that the work we're doing is pretty important, Michael, and we are definitely a voice crying in the wilderness. But the proof is in the pudding with all the beautiful babies who are born to the couples who follow our advice. And very often these babies have been born to people who were told they couldn't have children.
Wow. Now, surely you must have found yourself in trouble when you started the Weston A. Price Foundation, because you were going up against the prevailing wisdom of the American Heart Association and everybody else.
Yeah, well, we definitely struck out against the organizations like the American Heart Association. I do a talk called The Oiling of America, which is out there on YouTube, and names and how this all happened. Basically, these organizations are the marketing arm for the industrial seed oil industry, and they were taken over very early, even founded by people from these industries. So do not think that the American Heart Association is out there to stop heart attacks.
Well, it's a good
business.
They
are there to promote industrial foods.
Well, yes, that's for sure. So in the interim, the times are changing, because, now you're seeing diets like the keto diet, which seem to be, exactly what you're talking about.
Well, in many ways they are, and in many ways this is the a good direction to go, especially the keto diet, which emphasizes the fats, the animal fats. The paleo diet, which was emphasizing the proteins without the fats, is not a good way to go. You definitely need the fats more than the proteins. So, but we emphasize a lot of other things. I call us our diet the Yes You Can diet, because we're not telling people not to eat grains or not to eat salt or not to eat carbs. We're telling people how to eat your grains so they don't cause harm. What kind of salt to eat, what kind of fats to eat. So we are a very inclusive diet, because after all over the world, traditional cultures have eaten what they had there.
Sure, and what they had generally tended to be what was available, right?
Right.
What it got right down to. Well, are you feeling a little vindication when you're seeing these new diets coming out that are kind of following in your footsteps?
Well,
there?
It's a little bit maddening, because these various diets are taking from the work that we've done for 20 years now, just patiently and consistently and without, any kind of advertising hoopla. And sometimes I hear our very words but without necessarily giving credit to the Weston A. Price Foundation and the work that we have done. But that's
well,
okay.
I'm here to help you out.
Imitation is the highest form of flattery.
Amen
so.
To that. Now, last time we did a show, we were talking about your book about bone broth.
Yes.
And I, for one, have become a great champion of the food. I drive everybody nuts talking about why they should eat bone broth.
Right.
And, after I started cooking a batch up in the kitchen, my wife, in exasperation, went down and bought me a pressure cooker. And it's really easy now to make myself up a batch of great bone broth. And now I have it every day.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'm having some right now. But when people say, come on, Olson, why on earth should I be drinking bone tea or bone broth? And what good is it going to do me? I just say, you know, when I have my first sip of bone broth or bone tea in the morning, my body tells me, oh, thank you. Thank you.
That's because a bone broth, and we really maybe should call it tendon broth or, you know, collagen broth.
Collagen broth, it's
melted collagen, and there's a lot of glycine in the collagen, and that glycine boosts your dopamine. So it really does make you feel better. Yes, and also nourishes your own collagen. You know, we eat meat completely wrong in this country. We just eat the muscle meat and without the fat and without the collagen. And you need all three of those components to really use those muscle meats the way you're supposed to.
And why does my hair grow like crazy and my fingernails grow like crazy?
Right. That's the collagen in the broth. And so in traditional cultures, these bones never went to waste. They cooked the heads and the feet and the bones and the tendons and everything and made a kind of soup or stew into which they put the muscle meats and the organ meats and the fat.
Isn't that what grandma used to do?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, of course, this is also correlated with the very best techniques of gourmet cooking where you make the broth and make a reduction sauce and so, you know, we're really into sauces made the right way.
And the right way is with all of the things that we should be putting in the stew, right?
Yeah, right.
Well,
getting back to those endocrine disruptors, one of the things that the Weston A. Price Foundation has done is warn people about the dangers of soy foods. And soy is very high in estrogen. We've seen what it does to men in prison diets where they give, you know, mostly soy foods. The men call it chemical castration because they, you know, they can't get it up there anymore after they're on this soy diet. And they grow breasts and they develop very serious.
In prison, this is something you see?
Yes, and very serious thyroid problems. So we know that the soy is estrogenizing, and of course there was this big push to get people to eat all these soy foods, which kind of fizzled because we were warning people, you know, don't do that. But guess where we're seeing the soy come back now?
The Impossible Burger.
The Impossible Burger is the soy-based burger.
So that is where we're going to go when we get back from this quick break, because that's when I asked Sally to join me on the food chain. What she did is she sent me the ingredients to the Impossible Burger. And ladies and gentlemen, you are going to learn what you're going to eat when you eat in an Impossible Burger. And then you'll know why they call it impossible. Folks, somehow our sperm went missing. I don't know where it went, but it went someplace. And that's what we're trying to find out. Gosh, 60%. We've lost the males in North America, developing nations, have lost 60% of their total sperm count in just 40 years. The interesting thing about that 40 years is that it pretty much is the time in which we have learned how to industrialize our food chain. Now, what is an industrial food? I think the epitome of an industrial food would be the Impossible Burger. Why is it the epitome? Well, because we use as its foundation the soy plant. And we have really learned how to industrialize the production of soy. One soy farmer can now grow thousands of acres of soy with no weeds and no pests. That is the epitome of industrialization. And then we mix into the stew the money, the big, huge money of Silicon Valley and the technology that they have there. So you have the money, you have the technology, and you have the soy, and then we come up with the Impossible Burger. Now, when I'm...
Sex is impossible after the Impossible
and
Burger.
Sex is impossible after the Impossible Burger. So when I asked Sally, you know, to join me, she's immediately, within like a second, I think, sent me the ingredients of the Impossible Burger. So I wanted to take a moment or two and go through these with Sally Fallon Morrell of the Weston A. Price Foundation. So folks, when you go to Burger King or whatever your fast food place is and ask for an Impossible Burger, this is what you're going to get to eat. First ingredient is water. Fair enough. The second ingredient is soy protein concentrate. Sally, what's that?
Well, it's a way of, so basically when they make soybean oil, they're left with this high protein sludge, and the soy concentrate, the protein concentrate is, they've removed this protein from this sludge. So it's pure protein, and but all of the you know, estrogenic compounds are right there in it. So soy is extremely high in estrogens compared to any other food.
So there you get. The second ingredient then in the Impossible Burger is soy protein sludge.
And by the way, and very hard to digest. This is one of the things that the prisoners found, that these soy foods cause horrendous digestive problems.
Hmm. Third ingredient, coconut oil, sunflower oil, natural flavors. What the heck is natural flavors?
Right. Well, natural flavors could be MSG lurking in there. That's one of the ways that they hide the MSG. And, of course, they're definitely going to need it because the soy on its own is quite bitter.
And it doesn't taste very good.
Ew. No. Yeah.
Okay. The other natural flavors. Okay, there you go. And then... following that, potato protein.
Oh, brother. That, I guess they extract the protein from the potatoes.
I guess so. Kind
sure
of like they do soy then, I guess.
Yes, right.
Now, I understand that the Impossible Company has taken the potato protein out of their Impossible sausage in order to increase the springiness of the mouthfeel of the sausage. So there you go. When you get your pizza, you will know that it'll at least satisfy that springiness in your mouth. The next ingredients, methyl cellulose.
Yes, right. Well, that's quote-unquote fiber, and that's indigestible. I mean, it's going to give you a lot of gas.
A lot of gas. Yeast extract?
Okay. Now, that's interesting because the yeast extract is a form of MSG. It's a way of getting flavor in there without saying MSG on the label.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Huh. Cultured dextrose.
Dextrose is a kind of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what cultured dextrose is, but okay. I my guess is that this is, again, is trying to create certain types of flavors.
Sure, okay. Mm-hmm. Modified food starch.
Mm-hmm. So again, usually these types of ingredients are there to hold it together, to give it a kind of heft, you know, texture.
Yeah, so at least when they make a burger patty, it looks like a burger patty.
Right, right.
Soy leg hemoglobin.
Interesting that that's made from soy. Okay, so now this is what they've done. They have genetically modified certain bacteria to produce this hemoglobin, which is looks like so they can make the hamburger look like it bleeds.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So this is a genetically modified product. What this does to the body is anybody's guess. I think you need to be careful of iron products. I mean, the iron in beef is supported by other components that put this iron where it's supposed to go, which is in your bloodstream. Whether this iron will go to your bloodstream or lodge in your liver or, you know, somewhere else.
Who knows?
Anybody's guess, yes.
Okay, and then, of course, a little shaker full of salt, put some salt in. And then soy protein isolate. Now, we learned about soy protein concentrate. Mm-hmm. So what's a soy protein isolate?
Yes, I'm not sure exactly what the difference between the concentrate and the isolate is, but they're obviously similar, and I'm guessing again that the soy protein isolate is there as a flavor component, because when you make soy protein isolate, you actually increase the glutamate content.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I think a number of the things that we're seeing in this burger are flavorings to get it to have a kind of meat-like flavor.
Mm-hmm. And then following that is mixed tocopherols.
Yeah, well, that's the vitamin E, yeah.
Okay. Zinc gluconate.
Interesting that they're adding zinc because soy blocks zinc and can create a zinc deficiency. And, of course, zinc is one of the important nutrients that we get from red meat. Zinc is, apropos of our subject, zinc is very important for sperm production. And so I guess they feel obligated to add a little zinc.
But here's for the guys.
Yeah.
And then thiamine hydrochloride.
Thiamine hydrochloride. That, I don't know what that is.
I don't know if anybody knows what
it
is.
What it is?
Sodium ascorbate.
Okay, there's your vitamin C. That's a preservative.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Niacin.
And there's your vitamins that they're adding.
Okay. Pyridoxine hydrochloride.
Yeah, that's a B vitamin.
And riboflavin.
Yes, so you've got vitamins B1, B2, and B3 that
okay,
they're
good.
Adding.
So they put some vitamins in it. Now, they have three types of soy in this.
Yes.
And a bunch of flavoring stuff and binders and fillers and whatnot.
Exactly.
And then the vitamins, of course, are all derived from something other than food, right?
Right. And, you know, don't forget that you've got coconut oil, which is kind of interesting. They put it in there. You do have to have some kind of saturated fat, or it's just not going to seem like beef.
Right.
And then, but then after the coconut oil, they have the sunflower oil, which is a polyunsaturated oil that can be very rancid.
Oh.
That's one of those industrial oils, of course.
Of course. Okay. So a little bit of coconut oil for the real deal, and then some some sunflower oil as a cutting agent, probably.
Right. So, right.
So there it is, ladies and gentlemen. This food, this industrial, I mean, it is the perfect example of industrial food, is it not?
It absolutely is. It's highly processed. I mean, these processes to make the soy protein concentrate and the soy protein isolate, I mean, you can't do this in your kitchen. These are huge, huge machines that use a lot of chemicals, heat, pressure, etc., to create this substance, food-like substance, I guess you could call it.
So now, why are we eating it?
Well, it's all the hype. First of all, the hype that meat is bad, that cholesterol is bad, that saturated fat is bad. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth. And then there is actually the legitimate concern about how we raise our beef. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, I understand that. I think we should.
I think we all agree with that.
Yes, have our beef out in pasture.
Yep.
But to eat an Impossible Burger is not going to solve the problems of how we raise our beef. The way you solve that problem is to vote with your food dollars for beef that's been raised properly.
Amen.
And the Weston A. Price Foundation can help you do that. We have local chapters all over the country who can tell you where to get local grass-fed beef and eggs and milk and everything that's good for you.
And so one of the big reasons then, obviously, that people are going, you know, running amok for the Impossible Burger is that they don't want to kill animals. Simple as that.
Right, right. Well, you know, to grow that soy, you kill about 300 animals per acre. Little animals, mice, birds, maybe things
everything.
Like foxes. Everything.
Everything.
Sometimes in very gruesome ways, like they're poisoned or they're cut in the machinery. When you eat beef, you are going to be killing one animal per acre. And if it's done right, that beef will actually promote very good diversity in your fields of lots of different types of animals. So, you know, you cannot eat without killing animals. That's just the way it is on the planet. That's, you know. That's
well,
the fact
you know,
the, of life.
The interesting thing is that we cannot live without killing.
That's right. That is the, you know, that's the great conundrum of life on this planet. And that's something that we all need to deal with. But to eating Impossible Burgers is not the way to deal with that.
And I also argue to my vegan and vegetarian friends that by not eating meat, you are depriving an animal of life.
And you are depriving an animal of the chance to provide you with that beef. I think the question is not how dare we kill these animals, but how dare we turn our backs on the sacrifice that the animals want to make for us. They want to do this for us, and our job is to make sure that the life they lead is a good life for an animal until it comes to that moment of sacrifice.
There you go. And perhaps through the work of a lot of people, the way in which we're raising them will give them a good life for the time that they're allotted. And
you know, Michael, there's lots and lots of farmers who are doing this today. I think we need to honor these farmers, support these farmers, and not turn our backs on what they're doing.
Amen to that. So let's go back to soy. And there's one more element that I wanted to throw into the soy pot before we move on, and that is the way in which we grow them, which is, as we mentioned, very industrial.
Yes.
And we use a lot of glyphosate.
Yes.
In the production of our soy.
Right.
So now we know a little bit about this glyphosate stuff, and one thing we know is that it is an endocrine disruptor.
It is an endocrine disruptor. It was first designed to be an antibiotic, so it disrupts your gut flora. But I think even more concerning is the glyphosate is very similar to glycine, and the glyphosate substitutes for glycine in your collagen. And this is why we're seeing so many injuries. We're seeing so many people with constant joint pain, constant pain. And because we need the glycine for our moods, I think that the glyphosate also is contributing to things like depression.
Wow.
And the soy will be absolutely full of it. So, again, if you are eating a pure beef patty from an animal that's on pasture, unsprayed pasture, you're not going to get any glyphosate, and you're getting all the good things in beef, including cholesterol, which, by the way, you need to. All your sex hormones are made out of cholesterol. So, but if you're eating an Impossible Burger, you're getting just a real blast of Roundup glyphosate.
There you go. So, in essence, you're getting it both ways then.
Exactly. You're getting the estrogens from the soy, and then you're also getting the Roundup, which, as you say, is an endocrine disruptor.
So, there you go, folks. That's a quick thumbnail of what you get when you eat an Impossible Burger. And we know that we're totally in love with Impossible Burgers. I just a few minutes ago talked with a gentleman who said he was up at Lake Tahoe at a fancy restaurant, and he ordered a Impossible Burger to see what it tastes like. And lo and behold, the waiter said, well, we don't have any because Burger King ordered up the entire production of Impossible Burgers, and now that's where you get an Impossible Burger. But so we're going hog wild, if you'll pardon the expression, for Impossible Burgers. But boy, if you think about what you're eating and what's going into your body, maybe not so good.
Not so good. By the way, before we finish this subject of endocrine disruptors, I also want to say about something that we put on our bodies, and that's sunscreen, which is not only contains a lot of estrogenic substances, but also testosterone blockers. I think everyone should avoid sunscreens, but the guys, this is just a recipe for a failed sex life.
So when you put sunscreen on your skin, and people don't think about the skin.
They think they don't think that that's
They think it's some, like some kind of cloth that covers the body.
Like a blocker, But your skin absorbs a lot, and we recommend coconut oil on your skin. It's wonderful, nourishing to the skin and protective, but I had a friend who was a practitioner in San Diego, and she was getting all these surfers coming in, and you know they're in their young 20s, and they have complete erectile dysfunction. And she did two things. First of all, she says you stop putting sunscreen on your skin, and you eat a stick of butter and 6 egg yolks a day. And, you know, next they come back and see me in a month, okay? And they come back in a month and they waltz in the office with a big grin
smile
on their faces.
Yeah.
And she says, okay, you get it. You don't have to come back and see me.
So sunscreen is that much trouble?
And sunscreen is big trouble. And, you know, we've got moms slathering their children, including their little boys, with sunscreen every day, even in the winter, just in case they might go out in the sun, even underneath their clothes. And moms, don't you want to have grandchildren? That's why I keep, I feel like shouting that. You want to have grandchildren. You don't put estrogens and testosterone blockers on your little boys.
And there it is, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back. We're going to take a quick break. We've gone in search of our missing swimmers, our sperm. What happened to those little swimmers? 60% loss in 40 years. It's almost catastrophic,
yeah,
if you think about it. And it's mostly because of what we eat, put on our skin, and are subjected to. We will be right back with Sally Fallon Morrell and you. One farmer sitting on a tractor can grow 1,000 acres or more, of acres of soy, without having any bugs or any weeds. And, to do that, there's some powerful, powerful chemicals that are applied on the soil.
Yeah.
And, of course, when they're on the soil, they're in the plant and on the plant. That crop is taken and mashed up and processed through these incredible industrial processes. And then put in a big vat with a whole bunch of stuff that you wouldn't probably want to eat if you knew what it was.
Yeah.
And turned into an impossible burger.
Yeah.
In effect, that burger has three sources of soy, and each of those three sources contain those endocrine disruptors that are destroying our sperm.
Right. You know, I thought of something else also. The glyphosate blocks manganese. It chelates manganese.
Yep.
And manganese is a very critical mineral for fertility. So you're not only blocking zinc and getting all the endocrine disruptors, but you're blocking manganese as well.
I think one of his first patents maybe was as an antibiotic, but it was also used as a chelating agent.
Exactly.
In which you would put on the inside of, like lead pipes, and you'd have all that corrosion in there. And, glyphosate would bind to that corrosion. And so you could clear out the pipes that way. So if glyphosate is binding up all the corrosion on the inside of a pipe, what do you think it's doing to the inside of our bodies?
Well, and to the soil. That's the biggest
and to the
concern.
Soil, exactly.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a stretch to compare a pipe to the body, although a lot of people do. But to the soil, yes, we've gotten to think that soil is just something there to hold the plant up, and not something that's actually nourishing the plant.
Are there other sources of trouble that you can see for our little swimmers?
Well, yes. I mean, it's just the whole diet, the lack of fat-soluble vitamins. So Dr. Price found that these traditional cultures had very high levels of vitamins A, D, and K. And we're just not getting those anymore. And we get them from the animal fats, the organ meats, which people don't eat, that people don't eat liver anymore. We used to get them from egg yolks and butter, but not if these animals are raised inside. If they're raised outside on pasture, you're going to get
them. Oh, wait, let's pick that up, because animals that are raised inside are eating what?
Well, they're not they're not getting green grass, so they won't be a good source of vitamin A, and they're not getting sunlight, so they won't be a good source of vitamin D.
And they're eating what?
And they're eating soy.
And they're eating soy.
Right. And so they will have these same funny proteins, these estrogenic proteins in their yolks and skin and everything.
So, okay.
Yeah. Again, so, we need to get these animals outside, and this is exactly what the Weston A. Price Foundation does for people. Each chapter leader keeps a food list of where you can get the grass-fed meats and the eggs and everything directly from the farmer.
Here's the Weston A. Price Foundation going up against the entire of industrial agriculture and food production. You know, so you see soy in just about every manufactured food. Look on the back on the ingredients label, and you'll find soy there.
And so, a lot of times it's being used as a flavoring because soy, when you...
Flavoring?
Yes, because a lot of free glutamic acid is created during the processing of soy. So it will have that MSG-like effect.
So that's why you see it in a lot of different things. Then.
Right. And it has certain qualities. For example, you can't buy a loaf of commercial bread anymore that doesn't have soy flour in it.
Exactly.
And it's about 5% soy flour, and that gives it certain baking qualities. But that soy flour is just naked soy compounds. Yeah.
There's one baker in town that does not use soy in anything, and I keep telling him, my goodness, you ought to advertise the fact that you have food without soy in it. Where do we go from here?
Yes, well, we're in the 11th hour for sure. Things are very desperate. We have widespread infertility and so many couples wanting to have babies that can't. And all I can say is come to the Weston A. Price Foundation, get on our diet. It means you really have to think differently about eating. I think Americans think they don't have to think about eating, you know, they just eat what's there and they don't have to go hunting or anything like that. But we need to think about every bite.
But you do. You need to go hunting.
Yes, right. And we need to think about every bite that we put in our mouth. Is this going to be good for me? Is this going to help me have children? Will this be good for the next generation? And I can tell you again, we have all these wonderful babies to show for this. I mean, our diet really works. It's a
I've seen them for myself. Yeah. I've seen them at your one of your gatherings, and they were just sitting there nursing their babies with this beautiful smile. Where do we start? Walk us through this, Sally.
WestonAPrice.org, and if you look on the right hand side of the website, there's a tour that you can take. Take a tour if you're new to this. So read the articles in the tour. We have a really neat brochure that we can send you. If you become a member, you get all of our flyers and brochures, which are really like learning nutrition by soundbite. And, come to the website.
Okay, but take us through it. Let's talk to a young couple who are trying to conceive. Mm-hmm. Where do we start?
Well, actually, there's the Weston A. Price Foundation. Also, my book, The Nourishing Traditions Book of Baby and Child Care. And this takes you through the diet, how to become fertile,
How do we become fertile?
Yeah, it's to get off the industrial foods.
Okay, step number one.
Yeah.
No impossible burger.
Right, no impossible burgers. Get on what we call the Wise Traditions diet. We will recommend.
Now, what's that?
Well, that is our diet, very high in, it's a very nutrient-dense diet that includes things that might be new to you, like cod liver oil, that encourages you to eat some pate or liverwurst every week, that encourages a high consumption of eggs. We also advocate raw milk, which is a great fertility food.
Really?
So, yes. So it's a whole new diet, and again...
So you're talking about things that generally scare people.
Yes, right.
Okay, liver?
You have to be brave, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Liver scares people. So all of these foods, though, are very nutrient-dense.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
And isn't that the opposite of industrial foods that are...
Absolutely.
...are very... new. I mean,
they're naked. They're they're.
Michael Olson's
poor.
Yeah, yes. Michael Olson's third law of the food chain. Yeah, cheap food isn't.
Exactly.
They make food cheap by taking the nutrients out of it and by subsidizing its true cost.
Yes, exactly.
And
then
so
you pay for the medical costs.
There you go.
And the heartache. and the you know, the reduced efficiency in your work or whatever, the loss of a raise,
the other kind of raise too.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, a sick child. I mean, this is just so heartbreaking. You know, there's really no substitute for eating a healthy diet.
And so what I hear you saying is really quite simple. And this from Weston A. Price. Now, tell us a little bit about him. Where did he come up with this diet?
Well, he was a dentist who traveled over the world studying traditional cultures, and he didn't come up with the diet. It's the diet that he described among these traditional cultures. And although the diet was very different, depending on whether you were an Eskimo or in the South Seas or wherever, all of these diets were extremely nutrient-dense and emphasized foods like liver, butter, and fats of grass-fed animals, etc.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you see a grizzly bear eat a salmon, of course, what do they go for?
They go for the organs.
They go for the organs.
Yes, exactly.
And the fat. They go for that belly fat.
Right, right. And so there's ways you can get all these things in your diet that are not too weird, that taste good, and we help people find those ways.
And yet we're still left with this conflict with conventional medicine, who is looking at us, and I mean, I still see it, you know, on television all the time. Yeah. Avoid those fats.
Yeah, well, you see the ads for all those fast foods and everything, and then you see the ads for the, you know, digestive aids and the...
Mm-hmm.
Irritable bowel syndrome, all the medications for
work.
That. Yeah, right.
All goes to work. Back to our young couple who are trying to conceive. Step number one, stop eating the industrialized foods.
Foods, yes.
Avoid what else?
Well, all industrialized foods. That includes pasteurized dairy products. That includes the fats and oils. That includes all the fast food. You need to learn to cook. You need to get back in the kitchen and cook.
And the things that you're cooking are essentially high in fat?
Yes, yes. So, and you know, it's good. You can have eggs and bacon for breakfast. You can have sourdough bread with lots of butter on it. It's really a delicious diet, and it stops your cravings for sugar and
Now, that's exactly what the folks with the keto diet are recommending.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They recommend you wake up in the morning and you have a bullet coffee. Well, what the heck is a bullet coffee? But a cup of coffee with a great big slab of butter and a big glop of
coconut oil.
Coconut oil. Yes,
well,
exactly.
Know what? I would just not do the coffee. I would put the butter in your broth.
but what about high cholesterol? And aren't we going to get killed eating this diet?
Yeah, you should be so lucky your cholesterol is high. You make testosterone out of cholesterol. And this is one of the first things that happens on cholesterol-lowering diets or with cholesterol-lowering drugs. You know, they have erectile dysfunction because they're not making enough cholesterol, testosterone.
Which might be good if you're selling little blue pills, right?
Right, exactly. Okay. So it's just another condition that they can give you a pharmaceutical drug for.
It seems like it all fits together. What we've learned so far today is that the Impossible Burger is the epitome of what we shouldn't be eating.
Exactly.
It is the epitome of big money combining with big technology and industrialized agriculture to produce a food that is not a food.
Right.
Has two or three elements in it that cause the loss of sperm.
And yeah,
does it work with females too? I mean, the impact on guys must be extraordinary. But
well, when they gave the soy diet in the prisons to the women, they stopped menstruating, and they actually, this was in the state of Illinois, they continued the diet with the men, but they stopped it for the women because it was so obvious that this had an immediate effect on their reproductive health.
And they kept feeding it with to men because
because they
it was a suitable replacement for the archetype saltpeter then.
Exactly. Yeah, so I can guarantee you, if you're eating these types of industrial foods, you're going to be unhappy, and for many reasons. And you'd be amazed how good you can feel when you're eating plenty of good animal fats and real food.
Well, and that takes us back to that keto principle of eating high fat, high concentrations of fats, because you don't crave the sweets. It's morning. I have yet to have my breakfast here in California. I came to the radio station. I did have my bone tea with some coconut oil in it. And one of the guests on the radio had brought in this big, huge, beautiful carrot cake. And there it sat. Right in front of me. It's extraordinarily beautiful carrot cake. And I had no hunger for it at all.
Sure. Yeah, I find it now, and I was a sugarholic when I was young. When I look at stuff like that, it actually makes me feel a little bit nauseous, just the thought of eating it. So you want your diet to be high fat, moderate carb, good carbs, and moderate protein, good proteins, real proteins, animal proteins.
And there it is. So, wow. What an extraordinary time. It's always fun working with Sally Fallon Morrell of the Weston A. Price. How's the foundation doing?
The foundation is doing just fine. We are thriving. We have got our irons in lots of fires, and we're doing just fine. We'll be there for a long, long time to help people when they're ready for us.
Well, it would seem like this business of fertility is so extraordinarily important. It's everything.
Yes,
everything.
There's a time in the lives of young people, you know, lots of distractions when you're growing up, and then there's a time when, you know, all you're interested in is sex. Then it comes a time when what you really want in life is to have healthy children. That'll be this great burning desire, and we're there to tell you how to do that.
And be so grateful for it, especially for all of those kids. Folks, this has been the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson with Sally Fallon Morrell. Today we went in search of what is causing us to lose our sperm count, 60% in 40 years. My goodness, it's just so sad. And yet we're finding a way out of it. With the help of what people like the Weston A. Price Foundation, our farmers who are growing great food. And so there is hope. I've seen it at one of the Weston A. Price Foundation gatherings, all those beautiful mothers nursing all those beautiful babies. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Sally. What fun.
Thank you, Michael. It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.